Hello, and welcome to the Illinois Realtors Podcast. I'm John Broadbooks, Vice President for Communications, and today we are talking with Jeff Baker, who was just named Deputy CEO for the association in May. Now, Jeff has worked with Illinois Realtors for the past several years on policy issues, and most recently, he was Associate General Counsel for Illinois Realtors. Before that, he worked for the association in a contract role through a Springfield law firm. Jeff is one of the architects. There are many people involved in this, but one of the architects behind Illinois Realtors' successful work to get a new real estate license law through the General Assembly, and it's now awaiting the governor's signature. He's worked closely with member working groups and the association's Springfield lobbying team to shepherd the rewrite to the governor's desk. In his new role, Jeff will take over as CEO in 2021. And as he settles into the job, we thought it might be a good time to chat with him. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
So, okay, there's one awkward question to get out of the way right up front. And this is one I would ask anybody who's taking on such a role. Cardinals, Cubs, or White Sox?
Cubs, for sure. No apologies.
None whatsoever?
None whatsoever.
How did you become a Cubs fan?
My grandmother was a diehard Cubs fan. Actually, her and my grandfather both were, and they started taking me to Cubs games as a child and Cub conventions, and I've been one of the few Cub fans in my family ever since.
Wow, because Auburn, you're from Auburn, mm-hmm. Illinois, just south of Springfield, and that's really kind of more Cardinal territory, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure I'm the only Cubs fan in my immediate family.
Okay, great. Fair enough. All right. So you're a native of Illinois. You grew up just down the road, as I mentioned. What made you decide you wanted to get a political science degree? And were you always interested in politics?
Politics always interested me. But the truth is that I believed political science would prepare me best for law school down the road. So that's why I ultimately chose that degree during college.
You always wanted to be a lawyer from the earliest age.
I always knew I wanted a law degree. I always knew a law degree could take me into business. It could take me into politics, policy. And funny enough, I've now found my way into a job where I touch on business, politics, and policy.
So you got your degree at U of I in political science, and you headed to Washington, D.C. Now, that must have been just a huge change for you.
It was. Thankfully, I was only about 22 at the time, so I was still pretty naive, and I wasn't intimidated by big cultural or geographic changes. My hometown, as you mentioned, Auburn, was roughly 4,000 people. University of Illinois with 40,000 students alone, let alone the community itself. So for me, college was probably more of an adjustment. But after college, I really just had that young person belief of I can go anywhere and do anything.
So you were going to school there, but you're also working for the Republican National Committee. What was your role there?
Right. Yeah, so those were some really formative years for me just in terms of politics. It really was learning by immersion. That was a 24/7, 365 day a year job and just completely soaked in politics. I worked in the research shop for the RNC. And we looked at everything from legislative proposals to Supreme Court nominees and their backgrounds. If anyone in the White House or on Capitol Hill wanted to do a TV appearance on whatever the issue of the day was, then we prepared the research, we turned it into talking points and sent them on their way. This was right after the 2004 presidential campaign, so we had the lead up to the 2006 midterms. Even the 2008 presidential primaries had already begun. The primaries, not themselves, but the candidates were kind of grouping, and so we did research on them. So we were involved in almost everything at the time.
So it sounds like a pretty wide-ranging experience. How does that apply to what you're doing here today, do you think?
The politics, the game, the messaging, creating narratives, the strategizing, that's where I went in head first out there and learned the ins and outs of it on a federal level and started to see how that played itself out on a state level. And we still see that today here in Springfield.
Now, it's kind of interesting because you got your undergraduate degree in political science and then you got a degree in public policy, which would seem to track well with that. But then you went back to get a JD.
Right.
So that was kind of a fulfillment of your ambition to always go back and get a law degree.
Law degree was always my path or my plan. I took a few little twists and turns to get there. The master's degree from Georgetown in public policy, the trip to DC for a few years, all before working my way back to Chicago to go to law school. I can't say that I planned it all out that way, but I always planned to go to law school and I always wanted that degree.
Now, you also worked for Mary Madeline.
That's right.
Yeah. What was that like? She sounds like just sort of a larger than life character.
She was larger than life. Perhaps the only person larger in life than her was her husband, James Carville. Both of them just great, amazing people, super nice, super down to earth. They had their television personalities and whatnot, but they were just both very welcoming. And in fact, I worked for Mary at the tail end of the 2004 presidential campaign, and she was, you couldn't have asked for a better person to kind of welcome you into the political fold and get you ready for when things really were going to heat up after the election was over.
You come back to Illinois, you get your law degree, you work in private practice for a number of years, and now suddenly you find yourself in a role as deputy CEO for Illinois Realtors. Mm-hmm. What do you see as sort of topping the list of things to do as you get ready to take over this association? And I should mention here that I believe you'll be the fourth CEO in the entire history of Illinois Realtors, and that's 103 years.
Yeah, that's a really humbling stat. And that stat alone just reminds me of the importance of the responsibility that I'm being given. And that's something I think about every single day. What's most important to me right now is, for me, it's Gary Clayton has been here for over 30 years. That is a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, and it's not often that a successor gets to spend this much time with the person that they're succeeding. And so right now, my immediate priority is to just take advantage of that as much as possible, take advantage of that resource as much as possible.
Now, you take over at an interesting time because we're getting ready to start another round of strategic planning, where we sort of determine how our goals mesh with the goals for really our members and what our value is going to be to members. How do you approach this?
I think you just approach it with the same perspective that I approach our purpose and our mission altogether, which is to be a constant for our members. I think in the world of in real estate, if you look back at the last 10, 20, 30 years or even longer, things are always changing. Just on technology alone, something changes every single day. It seems like there's a new technological advancement being put into play just in our industry. And I think for us, if you zoom out, if you look at our mission, if you look at the Realtor brand, what we're there for is to be one of the most valuable resources to our members and to just always be a constant for them. So just from the perspective of strategic planning, that's my view, that's my vision is look at what our constant role is for our members and how can we be reliable, steady, stable resource for them in the future.
Housing policy can be pretty complex, and nowhere is that more evident in just the recently completed rewrite of the state's license law. How did you approach this? Because, I mean, you were going, I've been by your office, and you were sort of closeted in there going line by line through this very thick stack of documents. How did you approach this?
So I'm a big fan of the phrase, the question, how do you eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time.
And that was a big elephant.
It's a really big elephant. But that's what we did. We took that license act apart. Section by section, and we asked the question, how can we make this better? The only reason we were able to actually answer that question for every single line or every single section of the act was that we had teams of members who were giving us all of their ideas and opinions. We have a general counsel who knows the history of the act and its implementation forwards and backwards by memory. We have a government affairs team who can make a very overly complicated legislative process seem incredibly simple. And they all came together and they all worked with IDFPR and they were able to get the thing done. And I think if you look at it now, largely, it's a really great success story.
Jeff, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate you being here. I know this is sort of like drinking from a fire hose, even though you had a number of years experience with this organization. So,
yep.
So we appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Illinois Realtors Podcast. Now, 2019 is a big year for real estate regulation. That's because, by law, every decade, the rules which govern the buying, selling, and leasing of real estate get rewritten. While this is a huge task for regulators and for Illinois realtors, it's very necessary. This once-a-decade rewrite means that the code will best reflect all the changes that happen in an industry that is very dynamic. In the final hours of the spring session of the General Assembly, both the House and the Senate passed the revised Real Estate License Act. It now awaits Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature to become law. Joining us to discuss the act and its changes is Betsy Urbance, Chief Legal Counsel for Illinois Realtors, and someone who over more than two decades has become well-versed in the act and what it means for our members. Welcome, Betsy.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the invite.
Because rewrites are so big, we had to start months and months in advance to prepare for this. How did Illinois Realtors get ready to approach this, and who was involved in coming up with ideas for what the association wanted to see reflected in the new law?
Knowing that the rewrite sunset date was coming upon us sooner rather than later, Illinois Realtors formed a task force. Our task force was comprised of Illinois Realtor members, and they were divided into three categories. We had one subgroup that discussed business issues, we had another that discussed education issues, and finally we had one that looked specifically at regulation issues. Those three subgroups got back together into the main task force, and it really sort of was, I don't know what the word is, you want to say sort of an organic process where the initiatives all became clear based on the blending of what came out of those three different subgroups into the main task force. As a result, Illinois Realtors developed a list of initiatives that were approved by the board of directors, and that helped shape what we knew our requests, concerns, and ideas were going forward when it came to beginning negotiations with the department.
We went into the spring session with a lot of ideas of what we wanted to see reflected in the changed law, but I understand it wasn't a sure thing early on that we would even get a rewrite through the General Assembly this year.
Right, that was largely due to election year, a potential change in the governor's chair, which we all saw happened. But everything was somewhat uncertain due to the fact that it was an election year for governor. Prior administration wasn't inclined to really do much. So as far as we knew, if prior administration stayed in, we didn't think we'd get really anything but maybe an extension to our law for a year to 10 years, we'd even heard. Then, upon administration changes, you're uncertain because we don't know what JB's team would want to do, if anything. As it turns out, JB's team looked to be sort of consumer protection centric, which was, I think, a good thing for us and for the industry. We reached out to them. We had a series of fruitful meetings, and it became clear that we were going to try to work together with the department, the industry and the department, put together an agreed bill, compromise. So compromise, of course, means give a little, take a little. And really, it's kind of amazing that we ended up with a compromise bill in this legislative session. And so much credit is due. There were so many different moving parts. The department, to their credit, agreed to work with us and trust us. We had some very fruitful meetings. Jeff Baker did a great job with the initial drafts of the legislation, and all of those teams, our lobby teams, everybody involved just did a great job to work really hard and get this agreed bill through the session. The legislators that carried the water through the Senate and the House, getting it to where it was.
There are a number of important changes to the bill, but one of them really was aimed at boosting professionalism, particularly among new real estate licensees. Can you walk me through what this is going to mean for our members?
Sure. The change here involves a bit of a reconfiguration of the pre- and post-license education for a new broker licensee. So if a person wants to become a broker for the first time, having never been licensed before. In the first 1 to 1.5 renewal periods, which is typically a 2-year period, there's going to be more back-end education, a little bit less front-end education, and the breakdown literally will be 75 hours of pre-license as opposed to the current 90. Then the broker goes to work, and then within that first renewal period or so, that person will have to do 45 hours of post-license education as opposed to 30. That will be divided into 3 15-hour segments on which that licensee would be tested. And there's more oversight built in on the part of the managing broker for new broker licensees.
Many of our listeners are very familiar with the concept of real estate teams. It seems like everybody has a team, right? Although many people may be on real estate teams, teams were never mentioned in the last version of the license law. Now they are. So what does this practically mean for team members or people who operate a team?
As a practical matter, honestly, it really doesn't mean anything super different, because if anyone has heard us speak before, teams that are comprised of licensees, the license law applies, period, end. Team names, there are provisions under advertising sections in the Act that say that all advertising has to be true and not misleading in any way. The major changes that were made that deal directly with teams is, number one, there's a definition of team. It doesn't change what they were before, but it does clearly set forth in the Act that they're a functional unit. They're not a separate entity where a group of people, at least 2 licensees, get together and decide to form a team. They essentially huddle up and say, let's go, we're going to be a team, as opposed to going to the Secretary of State's office. Then there are some provisions in there with regard to advertising, and there is sort of a short list, if you will, of terms that we believe the reasonable person would think would lead the public to think that the team is a separate company. So an example would be the term realty would be one that is verboten in a team name.
But generally, the same concept that applied before you even had a mention of a team still apply when it comes
absolutely
to advertising.
Absolutely. Nothing really changed, just a little more definition.
It used to be you had to be 21 to get a real estate license in Illinois. That's changed, right?
Right. It has changed. The youngest age for a new real estate broker is now 18. So a new managing broker licensee would have to be 20 if you do the high math. And at 18, there are some people that are ready to try to make a career. So together with the reconfiguration of the education, with the increased responsibility of a managing broker for a brand new licensee to have to oversee what's going on with this new person, and the industry was asking for the allowance to be made for younger people to get involved right from the get-go after their high school or their equivalent.
Now, of course, in the world we live in, so much of what we do is virtual, and this is a concept that directly touches on real estate practice where we have virtual offices. How does the new law treat a business that might not really have a physical address?
Well, if anybody knows the section of 5-45D, I just happen to know it because I refer to it all the time.
I'm sure everybody has that memorized.
Yeah, everybody knows exactly the section I'm talking about. There was a requirement for a definite physical office. There is now a provision in the Act that would allow a company to set up their virtual office, which essentially it has to have a door, but the door will be different than the brick and mortar door, or I guess the door won't be brick and mortar, the building, but there will be access. You will have to be able, if you operate electronically, to protect the confidential information within your own office when you're practicing your business in the virtual world. But you will also have to be able to have IDFPR access your files if they're conducting an audit or an investigation. So those things will have to be fleshed out more with clarifying language in rules, but there is a provision that would allow for this to happen.
I'm sure our realtors are going to be very interested when this takes effect. Now, the governor has not signed this legislation. My understanding is that he may sign it perhaps in August, just based on the track record of how long it takes to get things through the executive branch. But some elements of this may take a little while, correct?
Correct. I think you'll see some information out there. It's possible you'll see information out there that this act will go into effect on January 1, 2020. Don't get too wedded to that. That's not exactly the legal case. It's more or less a technicality. The effective date of the act will be when the governor signs the act. Reason being, it wasn't a wholesale repeal. It effectively works as a rewrite. This is all a bunch of legal technicalities that really, as Shakespeare would say, are full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. What's really important to know is that sometime late in August, when the governor signs the bill, as we expect he will do, it will be effective. There are certain provisions in there that, knowing what's coming, you will be able to, depending on your advertising or your marketing contracts regarding billboards or business cards or what have you, you will be able to comply immediately. Some won't be able to comply immediately. I would think we could rely on some discretion on the part of the department to give a little wiggle room, but you would want to, as a practitioner, know what those, as we talked about earlier, the advertising guidelines, kind of know what those are, have a plan in place for how you're going to comply with those if you're not currently in compliance. On the other, the licensing change, and on the education changes, obviously courses will need to be developed. There will be a fairly substantial transition period that we just don't know what those are now. I think it's safe to say they're not going to happen overnight. So we'll have to ask everyone to stay tuned to those things that will require a more specific transition period.
I've been talking with Betsy Urbance, Chief Legal Counsel for Illinois Realtors. And Betsy, thanks so much for joining us today. And I know that we'll be providing a lot more updates as we learn more about this. As you pointed out, the process is still very much in process.
Right.
But you can always check our website for the latest license law news, and we'll be pushing out emails and other communication in the months ahead. Betsy, thanks again.
Thank you for having me. Stay tuned to all our information, and we will let you know almost as soon as we know.